Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of knowing the hope that comes from seeing the big picture, from seeing the plan of God. The world is becoming increasingly chaotic, and according to the Bible, these years preceding the return of Jesus to this earth are going to grow darker and darker, and times will become more and more challenging. We have to know how to look at what's going on around us in terms of the big picture so that we'll be filled with hope rather than fear and anxiety. And last week, we began to look at some of the issues that are arising because of the chaos in our country, the political and social chaos in our country, and even in the world. I'm seeing Christians who are in fear. I'm seeing Christians who are getting in fights with other Christians because they have differing viewpoints about how to handle society's issues and what political party should be in power and who should do this and who should run that. And so I'm trying to give light from the Word of God about how we deal with all these challenges. Yesterday we reviewed a bit the importance of recognizing that we're going to disagree with people on these issues because our opinions about politics and social issues come out of our life experience and the information to which we've been exposed. And we all have different stories. We can disagree with each other, but we need to learn to agree to disagree. We need to learn to presume the other guy has a good reason for his point of view. I may think it's ridiculous and harmful even, his political ideas. But I have to presume that he thinks he has a good reason for them. And then probably we shouldn't talk about it. For Christians to argue over politics, in my opinion, is ridiculous. But I'm getting off subject here. Let me just jump right in to where we left off yesterday. The Bible's clear that the times are going to grow more troubling. And we have to know how to look at it. Otherwise, we'll be in the same kind of fear and chaos that unsaved people are. It shouldn't be. We should be full of hope and faith so we can shine the light of Jesus more effectively to those around us, because the most important thing is that people come to saving knowledge of Jesus. Now, we said that the Bible has a lot of information about what the world's going to be like when Jesus returns. We could do whole lessons on it. That's not our purpose in this particular series, but the Bible says the world is going to unite under a leader who's going to offer himself as the answer to all its problems. And his seat of power will be in the lands controlled by the former Roman Empire. We made the point yesterday that these conditions won't come out of a vacuum. They're actually setting up right now. For the past several decades, there's been increasing talk of global problems that have to be addressed by the world community. Climate change, terrorism, income inequality. I taught public high school history for 25 years before I left to go into full-time ministry. And I can remember sitting in faculty meetings in the 80s, the late 80s. I taught American history and Missouri history, and I can remember being told by the administration that we were going to de-emphasize American history because we needed to create global citizens for a global community. That's the late 80s. And, I'm thinking, Lord, get me out of here, because I know where that's leading and I don't want to be a part of it. It's leading toward a one-world government. But for people to receive and cooperate with a one-world government, they have to be on board with it. They have to think it's a good idea. So those ideas have been slowly infiltrating into the culture of the world. And many people under 35 know nothing other than that. They were raised in schools being taught we're global citizens of a global world. And we got to break down barriers that divide us and become a world without guns and borders. And for those of us who are older and know that that really isn't the answer to anything, the answer is human hearts have to be changed through the new birth. It's hard to hear those kinds of discussions. This final world ruler is going to be empowered by Satan as the devil works through this man seeking to hold on to his control of the world. And the world is an increasingly abandoning God, paving the way for this man to take center stage. And it's very hard to watch as a Christian. I'm sure you find that true. It's very hard to watch the disrespect for righteousness and holiness. Several generations ago, even if people weren't Christians, they had respect for Judeo-Christian morality. That's all gone. In fact, the one religion you can mock in this world now is Christianity. And as the world increasingly rejects the Lord, he is giving them over to the consequences of this behavior. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Romans chapter 1, from verse 18 down to the end of the chapter, it describes a downward spiral which occurs when men willfully reject God. He lets people have the fruit or the consequences of their choices, and it produces a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind unable to make decisions in its own best interests. Our lives are and will more and more be affected by these developments, this move toward globalism, this abandoning of God and Judeo-Christian ethics, and people in places of power with reprobate minds. I'm sure everybody listening can relate to this. You've heard somebody in authority who is able to make decisions that affect your life state a decision they've made that you look at it and you say, that's the wackiest thing I ever heard. That decision is not in even his own best interest. Well, that's a reprobate decision, a decision that is actually working against the good of the person who's made it, but they can't see it because they've been blinded by the deceitfulness of sin. Our lives are and will more and more be affected by these developments and the policies and activities that come out of reprobate minds. It's very hard to watch, and it's going to be increasingly difficult to live with. Now, this is the point for our present discussion. As we're increasingly affected by choices and decisions with which we strongly disagree, it's easy to lose sight of the big picture. It's easy to forget that all the people making these decisions and engaging in these behaviors that we strongly disagree with are valuable to God. And they've been called to a hope just like us. Instead of damning them, we need to pray for them. You know, when a political leader steps in front of a microphone on TV and begins to say something that you think is ridiculous, okay, that's fine. You have the right to believe that. I hear people say stuff that I think is ridiculous. But don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ died for that person just as much as for you and me. And God's greatest concern is not their government policies, but whether that person comes to saving knowledge of Jesus. Pray for those people. Lord of the harvest, raise up laborers and send them into that harvest field. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, that's how Jesus told us to pray. He told his disciples, he said, look at the harvest. It's white. It's ready to go. It's white unto harvest. It's ripe. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Now, I'm not saying you can't actively support a particular political point of view at all. That is your right in this country, and it's your right before God. But keep it in perspective. Do you know what? Even if every one of your candidates win, and your political and economic and social and racial views are fully enacted in this country, but everybody goes to hell, it's all for naught. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If every one of your candidates wins, but everybody goes to hell, it's not worth it. All I'm saying is we need to keep the big picture in mind, and we need to keep an eternal perspective. I have a point of view about politics and government. I vote. I voted for a particular candidate. But here's, you need to understand this. We had a very divisive political election in this country not long ago. On one level, it doesn't matter who won, because neither candidate can stop the downfall of America. Now, I believe one will slow the tide of destruction and the other will hasten it, and I suspect you do too, and that's okay. I hoped my candidate would win. But I have to keep my perspective right no matter what happens, no matter who wins, whether my person wins or the one I didn't want to win wins. What's most important? What's temporary? What's eternal? What's most important? It's that people come to saving knowledge of Jesus. What's temporary? Economic and political policies. What's eternal? Where people spend eternity. It's clear from Scripture which way the world's circumstances are headed. So, like I say, in one sense, it doesn't matter who wins. There's no turning it around. And actually, why would we want to? Because it's all going to culminate in the return of the rightful king to this earth. And he'll get us through until that comes to pass. I don't want a kingdom set up by a human political candidate. I want the kingdom set up by Almighty God. You know, if the other candidate wins, the person you didn't want to win wins, it's not bigger than God. God can and will cause it all to serve his purposes. If you're not happy about the recent election outcomes, well, that's all right. That's okay. But it's not bigger than God. God knew, and he can and will cause it to serve his purposes as he works in this fallen world with flawed people to accomplish his plan to have a forever family in a forever home. Now, none of this means that there's no help or provision for us in this life as the chaos and the lawlessness and the injustice increases. God's promise to his people in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I don't think I have time to read the whole passage because we're coming to the end of the broadcast. But in the context of the second coming of Jesus, in verse 5 of 1 Peter, Peter wrote, "We're kept by the power of God through faith until that day. He will keep us or guard us by his power through faith." That's why it's so important that you have hope, because you understand the big picture, because hope, faith comes out of hope. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.